Movie, film, 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 film,
love. Everybody, say love. You're listening to Movie. Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Nate, and Black Mamba, I should have been motherfucking Black Mamba.
And I'm Terrell. And Frankie wouldn't know a hammer if it hit him on the head.
That's from, Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Yes, it is. I'm so happy with your quote. You did Kill Bill, Volume 1, Vanita Green. Yeah,
we both picked Vivica A. Fox quotes.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my quote is Halle Berry.
We both quoted Vivica A. Fox movies.
Yes.
Because today we are talking about Two Can Play That Game, starring Vivica A. Fox. But first, watch anything this week?
Yeah, it's a light week for me. Let's see. The first thing I watched after her was this Mom Mabley documentary. Ever heard of Moms?
Comic, right?
Yeah, she's a comedian. Apparently, she was the first woman comedian. Mm-hmm. And she just like did this like this bit, this character, where she was just like this old lady who was just very conscious and very just like she like spoke for women in a way that women weren't spoken for back then, and she got to hang with the guys because she was like, that was her voice. And it was directed by Whoopi Goldberg. And it was really nice to learn about her because I never knew about her. And I never knew, like, the first, like, female comedian that was, like, on TV was a Black woman.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was interesting to see her, like, on the Ed Sullivan Show and, like, all those shows doing her thing. And she's actually really funny. She's really, really funny.
It holds up?
Yeah, it holds up. It holds up really well. And, yeah, she was, like, an activist. Like she found a way to, like, even on, like, those shows back then, found a way to, like, sneak her activism onto, like, these, like, white platforms, was really funny to see. Yeah. She had this one joke that was really funny. I'm going to butcher it. But she was just like, you know, I go down to the South, and yeah, the white people love me. She goes, when they see me, they go, "Hey, Trigger, hey, Trigger." And then she goes, "At least I think that's what they're saying." And she said this, like, on this, like, white man's late night TV show, like, this, like, N-word joke that was very funny and, like, controversial at the time. So it was really good to see.
Cool. I watched a documentary this week, too.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, I Knew It Was You, Rediscovering John Cazale, about the actor John Cazale. And I watched this after a day of binging the 5 movies that John Cazale was in before he died.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was only in 5 movies, and all 5 of them were nominated for Best Picture.
Damn.
Yeah, 2 of them won. But yeah, that's a run.
Yeah, that's a run.
That's a run.
That's
so,
a streak.
It was a lot more successful than my Joaquin Phoenix watch through, because I had to watch a lot of movies and some of them weren't very good. This was just 5 and they were all just
amazing.
Excellent 70s American cinema. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3 of them were Francis Ford Coppola endeavors. I finally watched The Godfather
and
The Godfather Part 2. That was like a big one I was missing. And yeah, it was The Godfather.
It's everything they say it is.
Yeah, it was long and Italian and gangster. The second one I liked more than the first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the John Cazale movie I liked the most was Dog Day Afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Also with
Al Pacino.
Godfather's Al Pacino. Yeah. So bank robbery gone awry. I know we watched Inside Man a couple months ago. That, yeah. I think that actually had a direct reference to Dog Day Afternoon, but also there's some stuff I saw in Dog Day Afternoon where I was like, oh, okay. And other bank robbery movies, it seems. Maybe this was an influential one. Also, really enjoyed the political commentary and the treatment of a trans character that for 1975 is impressively nuanced.
Nice.
And sympathetic. Yeah. And
yeah, definitely know this guy's. I know this guy's face. He's your avatar. And I was just like, yeah. Who's that? But yeah, I've definitely seen his face before.
Yeah, he was partners with Meryl Streep till his death. In the documentary, her and Al Pacino were the best two interview subjects because they both were like near tears. It was really weird seeing Meryl Streep fighting back tears, not in character.
Right.
It was like a lot less graceful than when she's doing it acting.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah, this is real.
Because she's so good and she gets to the core of like humanity mm-hmm. and feeling in her acting. But then, I don't know, to see it without the sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the interviews in the documentary were shot very poorly
mm-hmm.
and horrible lighting, but just seeing the clips and all the actors just talking about how much they admired this guy and loved working with him. And then also they had like Sam Rockwell and Philip Seymour Hoffman just picking apart like, and Steve Buscemi, they each like picked apart these little subtle things that John Cazale did in his performances.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool to see actors dissect acting like that.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Yeah.
Like, just like, yeah, those were like small little things. I watched with you Buffalo 66.
We did watch that. I guess we're going to talk about it.
I guess we're going to talk about it now. That was a wild ride. It's been on my watch list, your watch list mm-hmm. for a while. A while ago, I was planning on having like a Christina Ritchie like binge, and this was gonna be on it, but I never got to it. And then you were like Buffalo 66, and I was like, holy shit, yeah, let's finally get to it. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's very indie. I just want to compliment the directing. I think it's like, it's some really interesting shots. Yeah. I think that like stayed with me where I was just like, oh, cool. This, you know, I feel like that's part of the saving grace of Buffalo 66. Cause it's, it has like, what's his name? Vincent Gallo,
mm-hmm.
who's the writer, director, and star, as this insufferable character. And the fact that he wrote it, directed, and starred in it, I feel like says a lot about him. I think he might be insufferable.
Based on what I've read, it seems like he's a pretty terrible person.
Yeah, actually, someone on I read a review and they were talking about how he like sells his sperm online.
Mm.
And I was like, holy shit.
That's kind of interesting.
He markets himself as like $1 million for like some sperm and like 50, like 500,000 for a date or something. His wording, though, it's like crazy.
Mm.
Crazy. But yeah, Buffalo 66, I don't know. I think I liked it because I liked the directing and I loved Christina Ricci in it. I was pretty obsessed with Christina Ricci in it and just how she like looked and how she behaved. But I really couldn't make sense of any of it, which was, I guess, maybe my biggest problem with it.
Really?
Yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't understand. I don't know. I was just like, why is she just like? She's just like, he just made this character of like unconditional love for mm-hmm. a character that just never got any love. And it didn't make her seem like a real person. She just seemed like, you know, like this, like, I don't know, fairy or nymph or something that was just gonna like love him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And he was just an asshole the whole time.
Definitely a manic pixie dream girl type.
Yes.
Though what I enjoyed about it is that he pushed the unlovable guy and the kind of two-dimensional girl giving unconditional love. Mm-hmm. He pushed those tropes just to the extreme. Mm-hmm. He is just the most hateful, spiteful piece of shit.
Yes.
Probably in real life, too. I don't think I'm going to watch any more of his movies, but... And then to just have this character who he kidnaps, and then it's not even like Stockholm syndrome, because it's right away.
It's right away. She's just with it. She has so many opportunities to like get away.
So he can pee. And then
she has to drive. She has to drive.
Yeah. I just found that enjoyable, and just the extent to which they showed just how little love he got from his parents.
Yeah, they did a good
just
job
paying
of
no attention to him. His mother, played by Angelica Houston, is completely resenting him because he was born on the day that
was a really good performance.
The Super Bowl. Yeah.
I was just like, I've just like never seen her like this. She was like mm-hmm. very like New York, like mm-hmm. like a New York mom, like sports mom. And I was
pretty
just
disturbed.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh, wow, that's her. That's amazing.
Yeah. And just, yeah, some things he did with the editing, like having the flashback sequences come in as a transition where you have both pictures in one on the frame at once, and the one picture like blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then at times like montages where it's like not even split screen. It's just there happens to be like 22 little screens on the...
Oh, yeah. Like at the beginning where it showed like his prison experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And I found it really funny. The whole thing with his bladder just really cracked me up that this guy always had to pee and he couldn't pee. And it said something about how he doesn't find joy or meaning in his life.
Yeah.
But then he can get love. It was simple and definitely not well-written female characters.
No. Though
also, like, the thing where she got to tap dance, I can't interpret dance, so I didn't really know what Christina Ricci was saying with that. Apparently, she choreographed it herself.
Nice. She taps.
But I liked that moment in the bowling alley where all of a sudden it goes dark and there's a spotlight on her and she does this
tap
dance.
I love the use of the spotlight throughout the film. I don't know. I was just like, maybe I felt like that dance was just like her seeing like she's lonely too,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. It's possible that this will be like in 10 years, a similar thing with Sin City where I watch it and I'm floored by the style
mm-hmm.
and then I revisit it and I'm like, I don't need this to be a fixture in my movie rotation. But until then, I do plan on rewatching it in a couple years.
All right. I kind of want to rewatch it, but then I just remember that feeling I felt when I watched it where I was just kind of like over it and I was over him, and by the end of it, like when he made up his mind and like the last minute where he had like a
were
character
you mad that
arc,
he didn't kill himself.
I was just like, okay, cool, he changed his mind, he's got a girlfriend, he's gonna cross the highway, let him get hit by a car.
Oh.
And then no, it just ended happy. He just ended in her arms. I was
like,
I
was
bullshit.
Hoping she would be gone.
No, I knew she would stay.
I was hoping that after all that, she finally leaves.
No, she's stuck. She's staying with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After all that, yeah.
His fear of intimacy was interesting for that kind of character. I feel like you don't see assholes with fear of intimacy in movies that much. It's usually the more Theodore Twombly-esque characters that mm-hmm. get that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lots of dynamics, but it was also a lot of bullshit too. What else did you watch?
I watched a couple rom-coms, since it's our rom-com week of our love month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you picked a fun little rom-com.
Nice. I got worried because I'm not going to say what we're doing next week, but once you picked it, I was like, damn, this one's gonna stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm. No, that was fun. And I'm excited to talk about it. I feel like we haven't done this kind of thing since Hitch, which was episode 2.
Yeah.
So it's been it's been like 85 episodes since we've gotten to do a rom-com. So I watched one I'd been meaning to watch for a long time, Broadcast News from 87, written and directed by James L. Brooks, whose name I know from the opening credits to The Simpsons. So it was pretty funny. But also very touching. It's about a newsroom that doesn't have an HR department because it's a love triangle with William Hurt, Albert Brooks, and then Holly Hunter at the center. And she is amazing. And her character is written so well. She's this, you know, works too hard, doesn't let herself play. And then Albert Brooks is like the smart guy. And then William Hurt is like the hunk, but he's kind of dim.
It's a love triangle?
Yeah. And it was good. Also Joan Cusack as the friend.
Are you saying there's no HR department as a joke? Because like...
Oh yeah, that wasn't like a plot point. Oh, okay. It was like...
Yeah, because there was lots of office romance going on.
Yeah, and also borderline or not even just workplace sexual harassment.
Oh, okay.
Just going around. Though she was high powered in the office. So yeah, that was really good.
Nice.
I'll double dip since I watched more than you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
After I watched Two Can Play That Game for the first time, I was reading a review. I think it was Roger Ebert, and he made the joke that Two Can Play That Game is Waiting to Inhale.
Mm-hmm.
So then I remembered I had Waiting to Exhale on my watch list. So I legally downloaded it. Because it's not streaming anywhere. Hey, stream Waiting to Exhale, people.
Yeah.
Because that's a movie you can... I feel like people would revisit and rewatch. Yeah. Because
it's actually always on TV.
That's one where you're like, oh, friends. I want to be part of this friend group.
I want to be a part of this group of ladies.
Oh, they're all so good.
And such great performances. Mm-hmm. Like that, just like that, like that iconic scene where Angela Bassett just snaps and just burns all of his clothes. Or when...
In the car,
just everything. Yeah. She's just had enough. Or when Loretta Devine, meets that guy moving in and they have that really cute meet. Yeah. And she goes, I hope he's not watching me walk away. And right. She stops and turns around and he's watching. Yeah.
I loved Angela Bassett in it, but because, like... That car burning scene and the monologue that goes with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like her best part.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's so early in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like over two hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was just Loretta Devine just stole it from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just amazing.
She's phenomenal.
Just so funny. And also she carries all those emotional arcs really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I found her character, interesting. She's the only one that had a son. And then just how it dealt with homosexuality isn't great.
Yeah.
But probably accurate for the time and attitudes that those characters might have.
I always forget that Forrest Whitaker directed this.
Yeah, he's a goofy director.
He's an interesting one.
Yeah. It's he got the job done, but he doesn't... I don't know.
Yeah.
It was the performances and the writing that sold it for me. And the music.
The music's so good.
The music.
That soundtrack
is, so good.
Is back when like movies had like big soundtracks to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lots of hits on there. Shoop, Sitting Up in My Room, you know, Love Will Be Waiting at Home, which pops up in Two Can Play That Game, which is really
just
nice.
So smooth.
Yeah.
You watch anything else?
I watched with you again. Oh. Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Yeah, that was your quote.
Yes, it was.
I'm really glad you told me to watch this with you.
Yeah, I'm glad that I thought about it. It's one I haven't visited in a while, but I just remember watching it as a kid on TV and really liking it, really finding it funny, really digging the performances. Mm-hmm. And so I always like note that about it. And then not too long ago, I made like a thread about Vivica A. Fox, and I was just talking about the performances and just like how good she was. And like that scene where her and Halle Berry are at the table and she's just like eating her food, like real loud. And then she like offers her a cigarette, and then they come up with that plan to like split it 50-50 to get like the other girl out. It's just like a really great scene. But no, yeah, I love it. It's a great like musical biopic that is, like you said, it's just like, it's also a courtroom drama. Mm-hmm. And you get Little Richard.
Yeah.
I always forget that. And he's just phenomenal. I wonder if he like, I feel like you can't write for Little Richard. And I feel like the movie also proved that, because like what the actual Little Richard was doing and saying was like so much better than what they had like the actor portraying young Little Richard doing. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like he's always a scene stealer. So you kind of have to like play him down if you're going to write him, or like if it's somebody else's story, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know how you write for him, but he was amazing.
He's amazing.
It was great that he got to just be himself in someone else's biopic and just steal it.
Yeah.
I was worried about watching this because, well, first of all, I had never heard of Frankie Lyman. And then I played the song that's named after, and it didn't really ring a bell for me. Mm-hmm. Only the style. I mean, I've probably heard it, but yeah, I didn't recognize the melody.
You ever seen Eddie Murphy Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the beginning of Eddie Murphy Raw, he's singing Why Do Fools Fall in Love in front of all his parents.
Oh.
That's, yeah. So that's where you heard it. But yeah, you might not be familiar. It's a really old song. I wasn't familiar with it before I watched the movie either.
So I was nervous about watching a music biopic just a week after I rewatched Walk Hard Dewey Cox.
I know. I undersold it because of that. I was like, oh no, he just watched Dewey Cox.
Yeah, he's but
like,
luckily, this really avoids all the a lot of the tropes that Dewey Cox points out, just because it's a music biopic where the musician isn't the main character. It focuses on the three women in his life.
Yeah.
And it has that courtroom drama element where, like, Frankie's already dead and they're just battling over the royalties for the song.
Yeah.
It gets cheesy.
Yeah.
But it's like, it knows it's cheesy. It has a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like present in the filmmaking and the performances. And then also it gets like kind of experimental also.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo 66, two movies with some experimental editing.
Yeah.
Where they like slow down the frame rate and like overexpose the this should be talked about more in terms of the best music biopics.
It should be.
Because I've found it very
It's very slept on, very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always enjoyed
the performances, the performances, the acting, but also like the musical performances.
Yeah,
just because that music has so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And Little Richard.
And Little Richard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I rewatched Bridget Jones's Diary, and it's a lot worse than I remember.
Oh man!
And in fact, I did inherit the DVD from my sister, and a la Sin City, if anyone wants a copy of Bridget Jones's Diary, happy to give it away. I'm never watching that trash again.
Oh, man. What is it? Like the writing? Is it the writing?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Curtis is, I mean, some people like him, but not great. Mm. I saw it when I was little, and I thought it was charming and British and, like, feminist. Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
Like, I thought, oh, look, they talk about how she's fat, but she can still be the object of affection of two men.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, first of all, Renee Zellweger, not fat.
No.
Not fat at all. You can have the script calling her fat, but she's not. And right. You can have the characters treating her like shit because she's fat, and they... it's just, oh, it's so hateful Ugh.
It was so big.
It's trash. I remember. It's just trash. And it's manipulative in this way where it's like they'll have things happen in the movie just to make the audience feel a certain way and then immediately go back on it. So it's like Bridget's parents have some strife between in their marriage, and at one point, like, the mom asks for the dad, like, can I have you back? And he, like, says no. And so you get the sad music.
Right.
But then it turns around, he turns around and says, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Oh.
But it's just like, they're only doing it for the sake of
right,
generating
that
the cheap feelings. It's the jump scare of rom-coms.
Right. Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I don't like that cheap shit.
I never got around to watching Bridget Jones.
Well, there's three of them.
I
don't recommend it anymore. Okay.
You've seen all three?
No. I think I've seen two.
Okay.
Two of them.
You can keep going.
I could keep going. I don't know if I...
If you want to?
I don't know if I need to.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I have anything else I need to...
We can get into the feature.
Discuss. Let's do it. Let's play the trailer for Two Can Play That Game.
Girl, I don't believe him. Oh, he's the dog.
Mm-hmm. Look at her. Meet Shantae.
Ooh, men are so predictable. You tell Miss Thing that you know the 411 on the fellas. Well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but baby.
She never met her match.
Would you like to dance?
Yes.
Until she met Keith.
Damn.
I was looking good and suave and double net.
Like Denzel.
Better.
This fall.
Shantae, isn't that Keith over there on the dance floor?
Ooh, what you gonna do?
I'm gonna go over there and say, hey.
Hey!
The lines have been drawn.
Love and war, maintain military silence.
Shantae, baby, it's Keith. Give me a call, okay?
You have 11 messages.
That's what I'm talking about.
The sides have been chosen.
She ain't no amateur.
Yeah, well, neither am I.
And the battle of the sexes is going to be an all-out war.
You know what I understand?
No, I love you, girl.
How a man can have a mouthful of gold teeth and be broke as hell.
Real just love it.
Vivica A. Fox. Anthony Anderson.
Does the back of my neck really look like this?
Wendy Raquel Robinson. Bobby Brown. Tamala Jones. Monique.
Well, what is this?
Oh, no.
That's white people, baby. We need some meat and potatoes.
With Gabrielle Union and Morris Chestnut as Keith.
I need to get back to being the player that I used to be.
Play on, pop your cup.
In a comedy that proves when men start playing around.
She's smart. She got a good job, and on top of that, she a freak.
Women will even the score.
Tommy, what are you doing here with Keith? You know he's my man.
If he's your man, he's certainly not acting like it.
Well, perhaps he would be if he didn't have a little hooch like you running behind him all the time.
You want me to handle this for you?
I got the situation under control.
I don't care, I ain't scared.
You shouldn't have no
idea. Because two can play that game.
Women, they some emotional creatures. Pretty soon, women are just going to be pulling these hand trips on us. And you know what's going to happen? We going to be the ones changing the diapers. They gonna be sitting on our couch watching football on our Sunday, dog. That's what's gonna happen. This is much bigger than you, man.
Bigger than me?
This is way bigger than you.
Two Can Play That Game is a 2001 American romantic comedy written and directed by Mark Brown, starring Vivica A. Fox and Morris Chestnut.
Mm-hmm. That Morris Chestnut.
So as I mentioned before, I watched it for the first time this week, a couple days ago, and we just rewatched it today. It didn't really do anything for me when I watched it the first time. Yeah, it got a couple laughs, but also, well, I guess I kind of spaced out during it and was looking at my phone when I realized I didn't really need to be watching it twice before podcasting about it. And I didn't think I liked it.
I know.
But we watched it again today. And it grew on me.
It grew on you, nice.
And I'm not sure what it is because I was forced to pay attention to it by taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, hilarious to me that I took notes on this movie about a woman giving the worst dating advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was that or watching it with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, comedy works better with people.
Yeah, I think you picked up on some of my, like, laughing cues.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, so
I guess you picked up on my picking up on your cues.
Yeah, when you logged it, I saw you didn't put a heart in it. I was like, oh boy, okay. I get it. I understand.
No, I didn't like strongly dislike it. Okay. I don't know. I usually, when I rate, I don't do the star system. I just have hearts or no heart. And I kind of base that on like, would I want to watch it again?
Mm-hmm.
And based on the first watch, I don't think I would have wanted to watch it again.
Right.
Even knowing that I was already planning on it. But now, yeah, I'd watch this again.
Nice. I'm glad you came around. I'm glad the second the rewatch did it for you.
Yeah, I'm curious how I would have felt if I didn't watch it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we went right into the podcast. I don't know.
Right. I saw this like a long time ago when I was like really young and probably shouldn't have been watching it. I think my mom's girlfriend had the DVD.
Mm.
Or maybe my mom had the DVD. I don't know. There was a DVD involved. And I watched it. And I just found it hysterical. I've always appreciated what Vivica Fox does in movies, and this is one of the few where she is like undeniably the lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so once I figured that love was going to be the theme, I was like, and then I saw that they just added it to Netflix, so if you want to watch this, go to Netflix, that they just added it to Netflix. I was like, oh, easy choice. I'll just do that.
It's on Prime also for anyone with Amazon and not Netflix.
But yeah, I was just like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. I haven't watched this in a while. I love Vivica. I love Gabrielle Union. I love Monique is in this.
Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. Wendy Chestnut, Raquel is in it.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah, Bobby Brown.
What's his name? Tamla Ray Jones. Wise.
Yes, there's so many people.
Got some Leland Palmer.
Leland Palmer. Yeah. Every time I see him, I just go Leland.
Yeah.
And then I feel sad and I feel scared.
Because
he was a monster.
Mm.
Spoiler. But... yeah, let's get into this joint.
All right, my one other note before we get into it,
mm-hmm.
though I guess it would come up later because I did take a couple more notes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of movies have product placement,
mm-hmm.
but not that many have just one product that's all over it.
Are you talking about Coca-Cola?
Of course I'm talking about Coca-Cola.
There's the Coca-Cola party at the end.
It's the Coca-Cola party, and the club they're at is like the Coca-Cola club because it's fucking everywhere. It's just signs Coca-Cola. The bar is just a pyramid of Coke cans.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It worked. They paid whatever they paid to get their stuff in the movie, and now years later, we're talking about Coca-Cola when we talk about this movie.
Yeah, now it's on the podcast.
So that's part of the movie.
Yeah.
She is an ad executive, so they're not hiding the advertisement.
Yes.
And if that's what they need to get the budget to do a movie like this, which in 2001 they probably, I guess they need to turn to corporations if the studios weren't given Mark Brown money to make his movie.
Probably,
all black cast rom-com where they don't fall into a race-based stereotyped.
Yeah.
Just gender-based
stereotypes. Yeah, just gender. This is just, like, very, like, gender-heavy and very just, like, heteronormative.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was just, like, when I watched it the first time, I was just like, oh, shit. Like, some of the language in here is just kind of, like, ugh.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, a lot of things don't age perfectly. This is I feel like it's a movie of its time of 2001. Mm. Right? A lot of things.
Some of the reviews from 2001 were picking up on the stuff we're talking about now.
Oh, okay. It wasn't flying black back then either. All right, Two Can Play That Game starts off with this great bass line.
I wrote bass line too. That's my first note. That's the studio logo and just that bass line.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
The bass line, you get the LA skyline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it starts off with we hear her voice mm-hmm. before we actually see her. And she's like on the phone pretty much telling her girlfriend that, you know, he's a dog. You know what I mean? Like, he was trying to get you with the old okie doke. You know what I'm going to tell you to do? Kick him to the curb.
Throw his ass to the curb.
So she's, it starts off with her giving advice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we learn that we learn about Karen and her situation a little bit, just a little bit right now. And then we learn about Tracy and her situation. And then she's just like, you know, everyone's having men trouble these days.
Springtime.
Yeah, springtime and summer is like trouble season, because in the winter, men want to stay all warm and cozied up. But as soon as the sun comes out and girls start wearing short dresses, then they start acting up.
That's when they show their asses. I like that. I like that language. Vivica's playing Shantae, high-powered ad exec.
She's so charismatic. And
she's a fourth wall breaker.
Yeah.
Speaking directly to the audience.
She's Zach Morris's this hard. It's really good.
Yeah.
She's a bad Mamma Jamma, starts to play.
Yeah.
I love that. The
opening credits.
Mm-hmm. Because it also is describing her as she walks from her office into through her workplace, commanding.
Yeah. So when I didn't think I would be enjoying this on the rewatch, because I didn't enjoy it that much on the first watch. Mm-hmm. So my plan was to just focus on the costumes, because this movie has great costumes.
Yeah.
So I did take a lot of notes on costumes, especially early on. So I just want to mention that yellow suit, the yellow power suit in the beginning.
It's great.
She starts out just wearing the pants with the black tank top or undershirt, blouse, I guess. But then when the credits start playing and she finishes her first monologue, she's standing in front of the mirror, puts on the jacket, walks out the office. You get her flamboyant assistant, young David Krumholtz, saying, "Hello, yellow." That's good. That's good stuff.
She says men are predictable because they all look at her butt.
Ogling.
Yeah. She's like, "What is it about men and big booties?"
And she just laughs it off.
She laughs it off, keeps it going, gets into her very nice red convertible. I don't know what kind of car it is, but it's a luxury car. I like when she gets into it. She does I don't know how to describe it, but it's like a power move where she unhooks her sports jacket, her blazer button with one hand, and takes it off before she gets in her car.
And she takes the top down.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, sunny LA.
Drives, yeah. Nice driving sequence.
Yeah, as we finish up the opening credits, get a montage of LA highway congestion and traffic.
Yeah, that traffic, that LA traffic.
Mm-hmm.
She introduces herself.
Yeah, I love that thing in fourth wall breaking movies where characters have to, after their first monologue, they're like, oh yeah, this is my name and
Shantae Smith.
I forget, I was watching another movie this week that also broke the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was 2 days in Paris, 3 days in Paris. And it's the same thing where you get the monologue and then it's like, by the way, this is who I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, she says, and I don't know if you realize this, but I'm a sister.
And I know where I come from, and I know where I'm headed.
Yeah, this was written by a guy very obviously picturing his idea of this. I guess the kind of woman he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
The way she describes herself comes off, to me at least, very strongly as a guy describing the kind of girl he'd like to marry.
Mm-hmm.
She knows where she came from.
She has a good head on her money. Shoulder. Yeah.
And she's got a big ass.
We go into the house and we meet Karen. Yes. Karen is still on the couch in her PJs crying, watching a rom-com or something. And so Shantae tries to cheer her up with some, what are those?
Chrysanthemums.
Chrysanthemums.
Yeah, I like the sequence because she leaves work and she has the flowers in the car the whole way.
Yeah.
And it's a rom-com, you think maybe, I don't know, who I don't know who it's going to be for or right. if someone gave it to her.
No.
But no, it was for her girl.
Yeah, it was for her girl.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it tears her up for a moment until she remembers that Michael used to get her those flowers. Mm-hmm. And then she breaks out into this big, dramatic, comedic cry into her arms.
Yeah.
And so we learn her story. We get her backstory, Karen's backstory. And she's also a success.
Yeah, and we see how she meets Michael, or should I say Big Mike, because he's working on her car.
Yeah.
And you get the introduction with him. You don't see his face. He's under the hood, and you get that slide under, and then you see it's
that reveal.
Bobby Brown with the buck teeth and the
Jerry curl and just like grease on his face and... Yeah, just busted, just toe up. And Karen's story is that she is a fixer-upper.
Oh, and she fixed him up.
She sure did. Got them all together.
Turned him from
hair,
Big Mike to Michael.
Yes, clothes, all of it. And he is exactly where he should be, according to Shantae, in the palm of her hand. And he asks her to marry him.
Mm-hmm. But then
yeah.
he sees himself in the mirror and he starts showing his ass.
He starts showing his ass. He's like, God damn, I look good.
Yeah, he doesn't cheat on her,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't bring up the wedding, doesn't talk about marriage.
Doesn't talk
it's
about
been
marriage.
2 years since they proposed. And
now he's scared of commitment or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, he says, see, the thing is, I've been hurt in the past. So.
Yeah. He was like, she was like, yeah, right. You weren't hurt in the past.
Yeah.
Like, no one was messing with you.
Yeah, and then I just love, like, Shantae already, like, has this rapport with the audience. She's like, so you know what I told her, right? Kick his ass to the curb.
Kick his ass to the curb. And so she gives more advice. This is a movie all about her giving, like, her female friends advice.
We wrote down all the terrible advice so that we can implement them in our own love lives.
She says that you need to learn how to cook. You need mm-hmm. to learn how to cook, and you need to learn sports, because the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach and through his sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we hear about Tracy's story.
Yes.
Because all of Shantae's friends have guy problems.
Yes.
Her story is her man did cheat.
Yeah, he's definitely cheating. He's a looker. Mm-hmm. He likes to look, and his excuse is that he's a man.
Yeah, he said, I'm a man, ain't I? And Tracy says, no, you're a dog.
You're a dog.
There's a difference.
Yeah. And then we meet Deidre, played by the fabulous Monique, who is ghetto fabulous. And her man is a double negative. He doesn't have money and he doesn't have a job.
So kick his broke ass to the curb.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, you know what I told her to do.
And then we meet Keith, the male lead.
Yeah.
Played by the inimitable Morris Chestnut.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word to describe him. The gorgeous Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, always gorgeous. And I love the way it's set up, because like she's been talking about how everybody has men, mm-hmm. man problems. And she's like, I don't have man problems. My man is very well behaved. And they get freaky in the office.
They have a, quote, freaky deaky drive-by.
Yes, and I love it, because they start getting freaky. And then she's like, actually, this is none of your business. And then she, like,
yeah.
she makes it go black, and then she comes back.
We see Anthony Anderson as Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on a stretch here. I feel like this was written for him.
It has to be. He's so good in this.
Yeah.
And I feel like so much of he ad-libbed
probably.
A lot. I feel like he probably like ad-libbed a lot.
So he's also in the office, peeking around from the corner. We get a damn.
Yeah, he's looking around. Yeah, like you hit it, didn't you? And mm-hmm. and Keith is trying to play it cool. Like no. I opened the window and stuff was flying everywhere.
That's just the whole movie. Keith is trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
Also, Shantae. They're all trying to play it cool.
Yeah, no one's communicating.
Yeah, you know what's cool? Communication.
Communication is key.
So we get the origin story of Keith and Shantae,
mm-hmm.
which is they're at the Coca-Cola Club. And Keith is there, and Shantae sees him, and everyone disappears.
Yeah.
And so we see everyone fade out,
mm-hmm.
and it's just Keith. He's in a blue cashmere sweater, really filling it out.
Yes.
And he has this pickup line.
He has a little game.
Yeah, where he approaches Shantae and asks some questions. Do you think I'm attractive? Do you think I think you're attractive?
Mm-hmm.
If I kissed you right now, would you be mad?
Mm-hmm.
She answered yes to the first two.
Yeah.
Or no, it was like, I worded it differently, but like she hinted that she wouldn't be down to kiss him right then.
Yeah, because she and like he said, would you slap me if I kissed you? Yeah, she that's says what it was. Yes. And then he says, do you think I'm attractive? And then I love this part. She like turns around to her girls and her girls are like, yes. And then she like she plays it off like she's like, you're all right.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you want to dance? And she goes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's their meet cue.
Yeah. So we cut back to Shantae and she says, so, yeah, Keith was special,
yeah.
Even though at that point, all we had seen of him was just that he's smooth and looks like Morris Chestnut.
Yeah.
Which I guess is special in its own way.
Mm-hmm. And so she gives a little bit more advice. She's like, you know, I love the way that she gives it because she's not like saying like this is law. She's just like, hey, I'm gonna give this to you, and either you know or you don't. If you vibe with it, okay. She's like, a man wants a lady in the sheets and a freak in the sheets. I hope I said that right.
You said sheets.
Twice. I knew it. A lady in the street. And a freak in the sheet. Sheet. Yes. And then we meet.
We meet Connie.
Yeah.
I love this intro. Leg to face slow pan. She's wearing a red power suit.
Red lips.
With the thick gold necklace and that ponytail.
That ponytail that she just like tosses around.
Yeah, she...
Yeah, you. It's just like real strong like character defining moment, and like they have this like really like cheesy kind of fake moment where they're just like, hey Connie, hey Shantae,
yeah,
is your man upstairs, you know what I mean, like let me go say hi to that Negro, you know, and she's just like bitch, and then she breaks down who Connie is and how she's you know she's also an executive, but she's also a bona fide hoe. Not any regular type of hoe, the type of hoe that is going to lay down on her back to like do whatever it takes to get your man. But she also states that she's not scared because Keith knows what he has waiting for him at home. And they're going to be having dinner tonight.
Yeah, we get even more so than the hair. We get a even bigger character defining moment when Shantae suggests that Connie slept with her boss to get the promotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of hoe she is.
Yeah, she's like, you put the pieces together.
Right. And then we get, oh, did I neglect to mention how successful Keith is?
Yeah.
So then we get to see more of him, gets fleshed out with this montage, just flashes of framed newspaper clippings and trophies.
Yeah.
What does he do, though?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think they ever say his job. We just see newspaper
clippings. Yeah, you're supposed to like, read it really quickly, yeah. I guess. And he's like, he's really good at basketball.
Yeah, he's also in a high power job though.
Yeah, these are all professionals.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So then we get the scene with Tracy and Dwayne.
Yeah, which is a great scene. How's it start? She like
starts with Tracy bringing out the underwear and saying, "I found these tucked underneath the couch."
Right.
Then we cut back to Shantae.
Yes.
Who says. Now, here's what you do if you're not sure if your man's cheating. You plant some undies.
Yeah.
Make sure they're either a little smaller or a little bigger than yours, so there's no way they're your underwear.
Right.
And then you bring them to your man and say, I found these.
Yeah.
Who are they?
And watch it unfold. And that's what she did. She played the trick, and he fell right into it.
Because yeah,
Says it's his sister. Yeah, with the glitter and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he doubles down.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are hers.
She described them to
your
me.
Your sisters. Yeah, and so they get into, like, this big argument that is both, like, physical and verbal.
Yeah, it gets kind of wild with Tracy smashing plates and other things
and vases,
yeah.
And she actually gets a bat. It's a great bat shot of her, like, breaking the lamp. She just wanted to, like, she hated that lamp.
Yeah, she followed Shantae's advice to always have the fight at his place.
Yeah, so I love that she gives advice to men. Like, she addresses the men, like, hey, men, if, you know, if you're going to do dirt or you're going to break up with your girl, do it at her place so that she breaks her shit, not your shit.
And then we get some signs that your man is cheating.
Mm-hmm.
If he's buying new underwear all of a sudden.
If he's starting to work out out of nowhere.
Yeah, you know, like, so if your man is engaging in self-care, he's probably committing infidelity. also missing his ring, and that's a valid one.
Yeah, that's a big one. And the number one excuse is, I was working late.
Yeah.
I like how that pops up, like, over and over, just so you know. I was working late.
So now that we met everyone, we know all the deal, we can just hang out with the friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just girls hanging out, sipping wine.
Girl time.
Talking about men.
Talking about their men, yeah.
Deirdre says she doesn't know what Karen saw in Mike. And then Karen answers by just wiggling her body around, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, I get it. And yeah, and Deidre is like, yeah, I understand, because my man ain't got no job, no money, but he lays the pipe. So,
yeah,
you know why she's there.
You get this dance to, what's it, Mr. Big Stuff?
Yeah. That's great. And it starts with Monique.
Yeah, it's like one by one. Yeah. Their moment.
Mm-hmm. I always appreciated how the camera framed Monique's body in that
she's
moment.
Sexy.
Yeah, she's sexy. And it, like, shows her body.
Let's her be sexy.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, hide away from her.
Yeah, I noticed that on this watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably looking at my phone for the first time. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's a really, like, good girlfriend moment. And then Karen picks up the phone. The phone rings, Karen picks it up, and she's like, hey, Shantae, Keith said he has to rescape. He can't come to dinner. He's working late.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, this zoom on her face, and she's just like, working late? Uh-oh. Yeah. Like, yeah, because she's already, like, laid it out for us, mm-hmm. so we know where this is going.
Yeah, and the ladies head to the club.
Yeah.
But then they see Keith on the dance floor, even though he said he was working late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is funny. Yeah, Karen spots him, and she's like, ain't that Keith?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just go, I'm going to just go say hi. And everybody's like, you were just going to say hi? And she's like, yeah. And so she goes to the bathroom because she was just playing it cool. And then that's when she, like, lets the audience in.
Yeah,
and
she's freaking screams out a little bit.
Yeah.
Loses it, but then regains it when she does, as we know, one of my favorite things in a movie, when characters look at themselves in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
She composes herself. And then the saxophone starts playing.
Yeah,
in the score.
There's a music cue.
And she's talking to us. And then she starts to give us the rules, what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Never suspect your man is cheating.
Rule number one, never panic.
Mm-hmm.
Never panic be casual, because your friends will, like, give you bad advice and they will make the situation
worse. No, that's rule two.
Oh, okay.
You're combining them. Rule one is you gotta play it off and be casual. Less is best.
Less is best.
So
right.
she walks past Keith on the dance floor with a beautiful woman dancing with him.
She just goes, what's up, Keith?
Yeah.
How are you?
Real casual.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna see you later.
Yeah, heads back to the table. Rule two: don't tell your girls everything,
because
they panic, and then you'll panic, and you can't panic because rule one: you got to keep your cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they leave, and they're like, "What did you say to him?" Because he's leaving, and she's just like, "I didn't say anything. I just said hi."
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really impressed by her coolness, and so she orders her drink. And it's like this little, like, 007 moment.
Yeah, what?
She's like playing it so it's cool. She's like 007. She's smooth.
Oh,
she's a spy. Yeah.
Yeah, because she. Okay. I didn't even put that together. I thought it was just like.
Yeah, shaken, not stirred. Smith, Shantae Smith.
Ending the scene with.
Yeah. It's a 007 record.
No, I got the reference.
Oh,
I didn't.
But you didn't get it. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, it's like because she's so cool.
Yeah.
So now Keith is going to talk to his man, to Tony.
Yeah.
Anthony Anderson, great guy to have as the best friend in the rom-com.
He's not really the Mel equivalent of Shantae, but he's like the game master for the men. He sees
her game.
Yeah, he sees the game. Like, he knows the game. Keith doesn't know the game at all.
Yeah, so we get the story. Keith wasn't cheating.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hit it, but he is guilty of lust.
Yes.
And
it's a great fake Tony courtroom says it's scene. The
same thing. What are you going to tell her? And then he does the courtroom improv.
Yeah, he's like, may I treat the witness as a hostile, you know? And he gets him to admit his lust and his guilt, you know? Because when he got caught, he acted guilty. He was like, why? Because you wanted to hit it.
Yeah. So now we are back with Shantae. We hear about the 10-day program.
Mm-hmm. The 10-day program. She's like, if you want your man, then let's do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
first step is changing the answering machine.
Right. She's like, don't call first. That's the first rule. Mm-hmm. Don't call first. Whoever calls first loses ground. And so Anthony Anderson, Tony tells Keith not to
kind
call.
Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of the same thing.
You can't
call
her tonight.
You can't call her tonight, but call her tomorrow. And you can call her first because you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay in the rule book. But if you call her tomorrow, then she'll know that you messed up.
Right.
Yeah. And that's vulnerability. And women love vulnerability.
Yeah, and you don't want to give women what they love because they're apparently the enemy.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah, just gender warfare.
Yeah, war and love.
So Shantae's in bed in this glittery tank top with the number 69 on it.
Yeah.
And she's surprised that Keith didn't call.
Yeah, she didn't see
but
it happening.
But then again, she tells us she's also surprised that she's the basis of today's lesson.
Yeah.
I love the idea that, like, this was going to be a movie anyway. She was going to be telling us these rules.
Not with her life.
But it just so happens that, yeah, it's her life.
It's her life.
The movie's not going how Shantae planned her movie going.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's the next day and Keith calls.
Mm-hmm. And the next rule is to make them wait.
Yeah, don't communicate is what it all comes down to.
Yeah. He calls and she's just like, I'm busy. Tell him I'm in a meeting, call in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, if he's late, say you're in another meeting, but if he's on time, take it. So he's right on time.
Right
10
on
minutes
time.
Exactly. And so she takes a call and then she tells us, don't say anything, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, say less. And pretty much, if they, like, start, like, trying to explain everything, rush them off the phone.
Yeah, so, like, what even when you're communicating, make sure you're not really communicating.
Yes.
she completely rushes him off the phone, and he realizes that. And Tony says, that's the Mac move.
Yeah, because she
does
that,
date. Then she's an expert at this.
Yeah, I love it, because at first they think that because she didn't take the first call that she's disheveled and she's trying to come up with a plan. But we already know she already has a plan.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan.
It's all part of the plan now. And now Tony's catching on and just like, oh, that's a move.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she set the date. Mm-hmm. Now we're at the date. And Shantae's going to arrive 15 minutes late because that makes him wait, which makes him anxious, which is good.
Yes. And then her next words of advice are, be polite and charming. It confuses them.
Your objective is to listen.
Yes.
Which, I'll get to something about that.
Yeah, not really.
Keith starts explaining to himself, but she's not listening.
She's not listening.
She's
talking to
us.
Yeah. And she's like, no matter what he says, it doesn't matter because he should have known better. So she already knows how this is going to go. And she interrupts him and just like, I think we need to take some time apart, you know, test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to him talking to Tony like, test the waters? What the hell does test the waters mean?
Yeah. Rule 3, break up with him before he breaks up with you. Because whoever breaks up wins.
Wins. And she also...
Because the prize is being alone.
She offers to pay, which seems insignificant, but Tony explains that it actually meant more, that she offered to pay after they broke up, you know?
Yeah, it's not about money. It's a demonstration of her independence. It shows that she could pay for her own meal, which, you know, that's attack against men, women, you know, yeah, demonstrating having, their independence.
And that, having, yeah, their own.
Oh, that's horrible.
Their own money.
Yeah, yeah. Men hate that. So now it's time for another cardinal rule. If your man messes up, no matter how small, you gotta punish him.
You gotta punish him. If you want him, then follow these rules. But if you don't want him, keep it moving. But she wants Keith back, so she continues.
Mm-hmm. We get this scene at with the girls at the store trying on clothes, a staple of a rom com. Yeah, trying on clothes moment. But it's Deirdre trying on the clothing.
Yeah, and it's like, Deirdre is a full figure woman, mm-hmm. and these dresses are like pencil thin.
Yeah.
And Monique's just so funny. She just like flips it and she takes two and she's like, I'm gonna take one in the front, I'm gonna take one in the back, and I'm gonna stitch them together.
Yeah. I don't know if it's flipping it. It's, she's now spending twice as much money.
Yeah.
as the skinny girls, but. Yeah.
She was like, I don't know why you brought me to the skinny girl store. Yeah. Day 2 and 3 are a breeze for you if you're the dumper. If you're the dumpy, not so much. We see that Keith is stressed out, wearing sweats and being sweaty and not focused on anything but Shantae.
Yeah, he leaves a message, but Shantae says you gotta stay silent.
Yeah. He offers her Lauryn Hill tickets.
Yeah, like, she loves Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, you know I love Lauryn Hill.
But she can't go because she has to stick to the rules.
Has to stick to the plan.
Which, like, if they went to the Lauryn Hill concert together, she loves Lauryn Hill.
Right.
They would have had a great time.
They would have had a great time.
And then, they'd be fine.
Yeah. No, you gotta follow this all the way through to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
10 days.
So she goes out on Saturdays, which means Saturday night you're out, Sunday morning you got to go to church.
Yeah.
So first she's just watching it on TV, but then when she turns down the Lauryn Hill offer, she decides to go to church for real.
Yeah, because now she has a new plan. Yeah. I think the Lauryn Hill tickets inspired it.
Yeah, so she goes to church in this sleeveless, deep V-collared, powder blue dress with a matching hairband.
Nice attention to the costumes.
The cross necklace, because he got the deep V and the, yeah. It's a good church dress. Sexy church dress. And while she's at church, they're singing, and it's prayer. We're intercut with Keith working out, because he's so frustrated.
Yeah.
So it's like punching a bag and
doing crunches and all type of stuff. And she's just singing along, praising in church.
She's the only one standing at first.
Yeah, she stands first. She's feeling
because she's doing well because she broke up with him.
Yeah.
She's the winner.
She's the winner. But now she has to up the game. Raise the stakes.
Gotta find a flunky.
Gotta find a flunky and a PR agent. It's great, but it's also really stupid. So she finds
that's
her
this movie.
Yeah, she finds her flunky, and the goal is to pretty much spread word of mouth, and just be a little too friendly with another guy at church. Just hug him a little too long, a little too tight.
Yeah, because as she says, men gossip as much as women, which is true, and not. Not that many movies bring that up.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And we cut immediately to one of the guys from church that was watching the hug, now telling Tony and Keith all about it.
Well, just Tony. Keith isn't there. He didn't go, remember? Because they went golfing. And Keith stayed home. So, yeah, there are three of them there, but it's not.
Oh.
It's Tony and two other guys.
All right. Well, yeah. The guy talking was in this bright yellow golf sweater doing a lot of movements, so I was mostly focused on him, I guess.
Yeah.
Didn't realize Keith wasn't there. So he's telling Tony about it, about how it wasn't just a friendly hug, because there's no gap between the hips.
Yeah. That gap where you, like, you leave space for the Lord.
And then he reiterates the thing Shantae was saying about all the freaks go to the club on Saturday and the church on Sunday. So that's why all the major players go to the club, go to church, because club costs money. You know what church costs.
Yeah. It's so stupid. It's so funny. This freaks and player monologue he gives.
Yeah, and he's like doing that like slap the ass pantomime.
Yeah.
next is this montage of Keith leaving way too many messages.
Way too many.
Swingers level message machine.
Yeah. I like that Shantae also addresses the backlash that you will get from gossip. Hmm. And she's also is just like, you know, in the end, it'll be worth it. Because once you do something like that, once gossip starts, you can't control the narrative. Mm-hmm. And she's like letting you know, like, you can't control if people are thinking that, you know, that you're going to sleep with this person, mm-hmm. even though that's not your MO at all.
Kind of like what was happening with Keith in the club when Shantae saw him with another woman.
Yeah. Keith leaves 30 voicemails.
Yeah, it starts off very polite, just saying, just give me a call. It's Keith. Just give me a call. Mm-hmm. Then gets kind of angry. Okay, it's the last one. And then, of course, cut to him leaving more messages.
Yeah. I lied. Yeah, call me back. It's 6 o'clock. And then it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, then we cut to Shantae's answering machine with him saying it's 11 o'clock. And then we pan over to Shantae, who's in a bathrobe, just sitting by the answering machine reading a book.
Yeah. Day 4.
Yeah, we see Shantae at work.
Yeah.
Giving a presentation.
Yeah, she's hitting that thing.
Which, you know, it's the classroom lesson kind of thing where it ties into the movie, because her whole presentation is we should turn the negative relationship to a positive relationship.
Yeah.
Because even though this movie's all about the rules of these games they play, ultimately it ends kind of, though I think it could go further with pointing out how stupid it all is. But ultimately it's saying, just be positive. Don't fight each other. Love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the fourth wall break just to remind us how accomplished she is.
Yeah.
Being the only sister in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm. 28, she made partner, which apparently is very unrealistic.
So, yeah, I like that she's, like, successful and confident.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the whole moment where she's like, I'm the only sister, it's like she feels great about herself for that, instead of the point being there should be more people like me in this room. Because the only other...
I think it's both. It's a bit of both.
Well, the only other black female exec is Connie.
It's Connie.
Who she disparages.
And Karen.
And Karen.
Yeah. And Karen.
Who is her friend. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of both, of just pointing out, like, that, hey, I'm this black woman in this room full of white people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's both of those things.
Keith's sad.
He's very sad. He's feeling sick. He's feeling woozy.
Tony says, you know what that sickness is? You're whipped.
You're whipped. I'm a call your mama. So, I love how, she is like talking to us. She's giving this advice, like, you need to avoid contact, like, don't talk to him. Especially do not let them, he's probably like taking advice from his friends at this point. So, like, steer clear, don't let him over, 'cause that could really be trouble. And as soon as she says that, the doorbell rings and she goes, uh-oh. And it's Keith.
Yeah, and she's wearing this silver embroidered silk nightgown.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing this red, this, like, muscle sweater and, like, leather pants.
Yeah.
Black leather pants.
And he puts the moves on.
Put the moves on. Looking better than Denzel.
He gives her the Denzel eye thing and the LL lip action.
But she's not with it. She's too smart. She's not going to fall for the old okey-doke. So, he comes up with a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts an argument with her.
Yeah.
Wills her in, gets her angry, and then he leaves happy, and she's now upset. And they talk about this.
Transfer of energy.
Yeah, transfer of energy, transition of frustration. And then they talk about Newton's theory about how energy never dies. It just moves from one person to the next.
Yeah. And day five is a bad day. And that is all Shantae's got to say.
Yeah.
Day six is also a bad day, but not as bad.
Yeah. And she tells you to occupy your time because while you're thinking about him, he is not thinking about you. So she opens up her little black book.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a little montage. Well, actually, we go straight to Tony and Keith.
Yes.
At the club.
And Connie's there.
Connie's there.
At Club Coca-Cola. Yeah.
And she's dancing all over Keith and touching him, and he is very uncomfortable with it. This is moving way too fast for Keith. And he pulls Tony aside, and he's like, yo, what the hell? She's like raping me on the floor, putting her titties on my back and shit.
Yeah, and Tony's mad that he's not going for it because...
He's that type of guy. He wants to objectify, and he likes to be objectified, but Keith... wants more, or he wants Shantae back, and he's just not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He's not comfortable with her like aggressiveness in the situation.
And now Shantae's on date. We get a series of dates.
Yeah.
She says day six is a drag because you're on this date thinking, what am I doing here? But you gotta trust the process.
Stay with these dates. Yeah.
So we get a couple of bad dates. One I wrote labeled as open vest, pierced nipple guy.
Fake Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bow tie guy.
Bow tie guy.
And then the
Africana studies guy.
Yeah. And then guy with the tongue that makes a boing sound effect.
Yeah.
The only
Pooh Bear.
I think it's like the only overly cartoonish sound effect in the movie.
Yeah,
just
probably.
He sticks out his tongue and it goes boing.
And she's just like, ugh. She's like not impressed at all.
Day seven. It's been a whole week.
Yes. Karen got great news. She got the ring.
Mm-hmm.
She followed the 10-day program it worked out for him. Yeah. I mean, her. Worked out for her. And yeah, she's, you know, the
worked out for him too. Home. Because he gets to marry Karen.
Yeah. Everybody wins. And so everyone's happy except for Shantae, who is happy, but not truly happy because she's also dealing with her own stuff. And so she has a plan now to transfer the power back. And so she's like, go to Victoria's Secret, take a nice long bubble bath, get your hair done, pull out that dress. That dress, wear a thong or just like no visible panty lines or just like sexy underwear or whatever. What she got from Victoria, and find an excuse to go over to his place.
Yeah, and drop some stuff off.
Yeah, drop some stuff off. So
with her hair done and her nails done
and her dress on, just looking spectacular. And the goal is to
leopard
get
leopard print dress.
Leopard,
with
yes,
with the chain straps.
Mm-hmm. And so she's playing it really cool, like she doesn't want to go inside. And she's like, no, I'm going to go. And she starts to walk away. And he's like, please come in. And then she looks at us and she's like, got him.
Yeah, played right into her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she transfers the power back by getting him going.
Yeah.
Letting him touch her all over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at the peak of his excitement, you leave.
You leave.
Give him blue balls.
Give him blue balls, pretty much. And yeah, that's the play. So now he is back, you know, in the stress place, and now she's feeling good.
Yeah. Now, Tony's yelling at Keith the next day. Why'd you invite her in unannounced? You never do that.
Yeah.
It's about power.
Yeah.
And you know, in relationships with men and women, man, you always got to make sure that the women doesn't have any power. That's how you win relationships, men. Fellas.
With power.
Yeah.
You sucked your teeth at this part, and I get why, because, like, the whole, like, Anthony, like, and, like, Tony says, what does he say? He says, if you have sex with a woman and you hit that spot, then you got the power. But if you go to have sex and she says no, then she has the power. Right. Which is just, like, I get that in the context of, like, this love game, but also that's, like, that power dynamic is also, like, how, like, rape works.
Yeah, I mean, this whole movie is built on the guys are like this, women are like this, yeah. And the way that guys are is they engage in rape culture. It's a toxic heteronormativity.
Mm-hmm.
Or just heteronormativity.
Mm-hmm. I like at this point that Tony is, like, fully aware that he is playing a game here. This is mm-hmm. now a game. Keith is just a player, and it has become bigger than him. Keith cannot lose. She's starting to get on Tony's nerves, and you know, you can't let her win, because if she wins, then men everywhere are gonna lose.
Yeah, and you know how women talk. So everyone will know what happened, and mm-hmm. soon we'll be cooking, doing the dishes, while they're on the couch watching our football.
Tony should be, like, really, like, problematic and disgusting, but, like, Anthony Anderson
yeah.
is so good and so funny mm-hmm. and just brings, like, this lightness to it.
Yeah, I like how, just how open the script is about the, just how... I mean, it has fun with it, but it's just so open with how men are.
Yeah.
Monsters. How yeah. We've built this system of oppressing women.
Yeah.
And just having the male characters bask in that yeah. in that system.
Mm-hmm. And be aware of it, yeah.
Yeah. Just shameless.
The next scene is girl brunch. The girls are at brunch. They're talking, pretty much talking about, the situation that we just had.
Just talking about men's dicks.
Talking, we just saw Shantae do it, but we hear Karen talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she left her man with the heart on.
Yeah, she does a thing where she, like, fixes her posture very quickly
yeah.
to,
he was like this. Yeah.
To imitate, yeah.
Yeah.
An erect penis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, Deidre's just like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could, you know, I love dick too much.
Well, you got two options.
You got two options. Yeah. Shantae is just like, yeah, I know. Like, I love it too. But if your man's been bad, he has two options, either blue balls or choke that chicken, honey.
Yeah, and then we hear about how men have a sex cycle.
Yeah, from Shantae Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karen's now Shantae Jr. That's how good she's gotten at yeah. the game. So yeah, but women have to keep track of men's sexual desires so that they can then take advantage of
it. Yeah,
them.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So now the women are playing like the men, I suppose. Or, I mean, playing smarter.
Yeah. Day 8, I like this. She's driving around, she's got grocery bags. She says, you gotta stock up and get some wine or champagne, because, you know, it's over soon, and once you make up, you might be inside for a couple days.
Yeah. Yeah, she has the end in sight.
Yeah, she's getting ready for victory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, in a board meeting, we hear about something with Coca-Cola. There's gonna be a party.
Yeah, a party. They have to work this weekend. Which throws, I guess, a little wrench in her plans.
Well, not really, because it's just a party. Day yeah. 9, and she gets to invite her girls.
Yeah.
And we see that Keith is going to invite Connie to the party.
Yeah. Actually, Tony talks Keith into going mm-hmm. because he's done playing. Like, he's probably... If Tony didn't, like, hype him up to, right. like...
No, he was ready to communicate...
Yeah, he was going to be at stuff. Her house at mm-hmm. night with flowers.
Yeah.
But Tony's just like, no, you got to show who you are. You got to, you know, show her that you still the man. You still a player. And so he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to show her who's wearing the big draws. And so he calls Connie up. And so it's the day of the party, the Coca-Cola party.
Yeah, we got a big Connie versus Shantae moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where they face off. And Connie gets right up in Shantae's face, says, don't take your frustration out on me if you can't control your man. Kay.
Yeah,
and Shantae like, turns to us immediately, mimicking her. Kay.
Kay. She's like, hun. Like,
yeah, right.
She's like, so, just like, yeah. But yeah, I also love this bit because she's just like, you know, Connie's right. Never approach the other woman. Mm-hmm. Always deal with the men because there's nothing worse than two women fighting over a man. And mm-hmm. really, it is like, you should be dealing with the man. That's the one you want to deal with. But there's this like dream sequence.
Yeah, she says, you know what, though? I don't like this bitch. And then she punches her in the face.
Yeah.
But then she says, let's back it up.
Yeah, that's not how you handle it. This is how you really handle
she
it.
She keeps composed.
She keeps composed. She takes that L pretty much. And I love that music cue of Mystical's Danger
mm-hmm.
as she looks into the camera. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
I got something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So since the girls are at the party
mm-hmm.
and they see Keith is there with Connie.
They're doing that thing
now,
again.
Shantae can't keep up the whole act of not telling her girls everything because they see.
They see it, yeah.
They see it.
And so, she's like, see, this is why you don't tell your girlfriends
anything.
Yeah,
they're panicking.
Yeah.
Deirdre's ready to fight, taking off her earrings.
Yeah, she's like, you want me to yank him? Because I will go over there and yank him. And she's like, no, I got it. She's playing it cool again. She's cool again. And she addresses us and she's like, look, if you don't want your man, don't do what I'm about to do. Because I'm about to do something strange.
Yeah, yeah. If you really want your man back, you're going to have to do some strange things.
Yeah.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Yes.
The old damsel in distress trick. Mm-hmm.
Her goal is to
slash
find a man.
Slash your own tires.
Yeah, crazy. It gets crazy really quickly. And I love she says, pay attention because this is going to move very quickly.
Right.
And she pops her tires. And yeah, she's going to play a damsel. And so she has three bachelors that come by. The first one is not cute enough. The second one is not smooth enough. Very Urkel. And then the third one is her guy. It's just like this very Richie Rich type of, you know, broad jawline
mm-hmm.
guy.
Calvin. He helps her with her tire and mm-hmm. she gets him a drink, which Tony notices
mm-hmm.
and Keith notices.
Yeah.
So he's got to turn up the heat on the dance floor
mm-hmm.
with Connie.
Yep.
And he's dancing with Connie, but keeps looking over at her. And she's saying, she notices him, but also says, you can't look at him. You got to pay attention to this guy.
Yeah, because he's like a little puppy just begging for attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so your goal is to pay attention to this guy.
Act like you're having a ball.
And laugh at his jokes, even if they aren't funny. And then he goes, what do you think? I'm Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
And she just cracks up.
And then raise the stakes by going to a quiet corner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Tony is just like the worst. He's just making it worse because he's just like, she's just been over there talking to him the whole time. Like
mm-hmm.
that's bad because if she was dancing with him, that's cool. But the fact that she's been talking to him the whole time, that's personal. She's getting to know him.
Yeah. So Keith follows her
mm-hmm.
and confronts her. They get Calvin to walk away for a little bit so they can talk. And he says, why are you doing this? Why are you playing these games?
Mm-hmm.
She denies. What games? I'm not playing
games.
Yeah,
I'm not playing games. He's like, you're the queen of games.
Yep.
Like calling her out.
And then because she is the queen of games, she does the coup de grace, which is French for fuck him up.
Yeah.
Drops a condom.
And really fucks him up. And he's just like, he's stuck. He's just like, what's this? And she's like, it's nothing, whatever. And so she like dismisses him, goes about her time. He goes back to Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's like, she's not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Did she sleep with you on the first date? And he goes, yeah. And then he's just like, Oh.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh.
So now his move is to threaten to sleep with Connie if she leaves with Calvin.
Yeah, he tries to control her.
Yeah, but she says, no, I'm not going to let you control me. I'm leaving.
I'm leaving.
If you feel the need to sleep with Connie in order to control me, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
She acknowledges gotta to us that go. It is a risk.
Yes.
But she's pretty sure he's not going to sleep with her. He's going to be at her house by the time she gets there. So take your time.
Yeah. And so Calvin follows her home, but then she dismisses him because Keith is supposed to be inside.
Drives her home. Except follows.
Follows. Follows. He follows her. He followed her.
He drives her home.
No, he followed her.
He followed her?
Yeah,
he followed her. Oh, because they have two separate cars.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he followed her home.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm going to go to bed. And so he leaves. And so she's just like, yeah, he's going to be inside. He's going to be waiting. And she goes inside. And no one's there.
Yeah, she says Keith 5 times. Keith.
Yeah.
Keith. Keith.
Yeah.
Keith. And then the doorbell rings. Keith.
But and she's like, yeah, that's him.
It's a food delivery for the wrong house.
For the Millers.
Yeah, and you get I like this move where characters, like, dejected after closing the door, they, like, turn around and shut the door with their back and then
yeah,
have that dejected moment, sadness. And this is where Shantae finally starts to smell her shit.
Yeah.
Because she says, you know what, when it comes to love, there's no rules.
There's no rules, and, you know, I thought...
This is also the first time I think she uses the word love.
Yeah.
With acknowledging her feelings for him as being love.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's something.
I love that Love Will Be Waiting at Home is scoring. It's the perfect song. And yeah, she owns up to it. She owns up to that, you know, she failed and, you know, she didn't go about it the right way. And so she's at the bar alone. And then this very pretty lady comes up to her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yes, dead as hell. I was talking to this fine ass man and he curved me. And that shit just does not happen to me.
And it turns out it's Keith.
It's Keith.
So Shantae approaches him and they do the thing where she turns the pickup line on him.
Yeah.
She says, can I ask you some questions?
Mm-hmm. Do you like basketball?
Yeah. Do you find me attractive?
Do you think I find you attractive?
And then she says, do you think a woman that thought she could control a man with rules could get him back? And he says, no. So she walks away. But then he says, unless. So she stops and turns around and he gets up and he says, he really loves her.
Yeah.
Unless he really loves her. Aww.
And then she goes, you want to dance? And he goes, yeah. And so they dance and the music swells
and they kiss
and it's just them on the dance floor. And then I like that the end pops up for some reason. It makes it almost like a fairy tale. Almost like a fairy tale ending that they just get back together. And then we get some very 2000s bloopers.
Yeah, I like it. Just
they don't do bloopers like this anymore.
Them on set dancing, having fun. Looked like a fun set.
Looked like a fun set.
Anthony Anderson has a fun little bit where he talks about how the gap in his teeth isn't for nothing.
And
he does a cunnilingus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bloopers. I didn't mention it in the top of the podcast, but I rewatched Toy Story 2 today, and the Toy Story movies do the bloopers.
Yeah, it's bloopers.
It's so good. But animated
bloopers,
Like, as if the characters in Toy Story know that they're shooting a movie.
Yeah. And that's Two Can Play That Game.
Yeah. There's a game sequel. Have you seen it?
No, because, I don't acknowledge it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because Vivica Fox isn't in it?
No, she's in it. Oh. It was just like, I feel like for some reason, I don't know. It was just like a straight to DVD release. And so, and also like I saw like a bit of it on TV and I was just like, this actually doesn't look great.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So I didn't check it out. So I only acknowledged the first one, which is fine enough with me. I don't need to destroy this movie with the second one.
All right.
Yeah.
Is Two Can Play That Game a movie or a film?
Two Can Play That Game is a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a rom-com movie.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah. That's sweet. That's lovely.
It is comedic.
It's charming.
I don't think it's romantic, though. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in the very last moment.
It is, yeah. That last moment's romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's more about the breakup and the game than it is about
the mind games.
Yeah, the mind games than it actually is about them being together mm-hmm. and showing that affection and love. You only get that in like the last moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, in the beginning when they're together, that's only their relationship is only seen through him showing up at her office for what was it, freaky deaky drive by.
Yeah, for sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Love isn't discussed until the very end.
Yeah. So that's true.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you picked it.
I'm glad that you're glad that I picked it. Because I'm glad that I picked it.
Nice. Well,
yes.
Tweet us at moviefilmpod or email moviefilmpod@gmail.com to tell us if you're glad that we're glad. Or if you're just glad that we picked it. Also, check out YouTube if you want to revisit our Guestober
yes.
videos
still
that
there.
Still live there. And will continue to reside there for eternity. We will be back next week with another episode. I will give the hint that even though it's Love Month, I was very specific in not calling it Romance Month because next week isn't romantic. It's a different kind of love.
Okay. I'm excited.
It's not really a hint.
It's something I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch it.
I
really love that about this podcast. We just like put each other on to like things we've seen and then we get to
for a while when we were picking movies, we would each like take turns coming up with a couple different movies and then one of us would pick from that list, usually just the movie that we liked the most or have seen from that list. But lately we've just been picking movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, getting some different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have another different thing next week on movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
Don't listen to Shantae's advice. This is not an endorsement of that.
This is not
an